Hi, I'm Lainey, host of the new podcast, We're All Just Pretending. It's a podcast that has elements of Dear Abby with a twist of Post Secret. Every episode, I'll read listener questions and provide advice and insight as a friend. My own pod friends will even join in and offer their advice on parenting, relationships, and even give you really bad advice on purpose. Since we all have secrets to share, there'll also be a segment focusing on letting the skeletons out of your closet. If you're looking for advice or want to share a secret, head to allpretendingpod.com. And remember, we're all just pretending here.
Hey everyone, welcome back to But Why Though, the podcast, where we talk about the things in pop culture that people say matter and ask the question, but why though? Make sure you head over to our Facebook, facebook.com/butwhythoughpc, and our Twitter and Instagram, @butwhythoughpc. We definitely want to get more involved with you all, and we want to hear your fan but why those. Let us know. We'll put it up on the website. Also, if you want to support us a little bit more, head on over to our Patreon. There you'll get access to all of our research notes, early released episodes, as well as a whole bunch of stuff that I cut out from the episode. So if you want extra content, go ahead and head over there. And if you subscribe at the $3 level, you also get some merch. I am in the process of sending stuff out to people right now, and I'm looking to get more stuff done. But if a monthly subscription is just too much, we also have some t-shirts. Go ahead and get one, send us your picture in it, and we'll post it up on our website. But we here at But Why Though want you to know that just you listening is as important as it gets. So share us with your friends, share us with your grandma, share us with whoever you can. Play us while you're at work and make your entire place listen to us. We appreciate it and we love you guys. Also, this is going to be a two-parter. We got into an awesome conversation with our special guest, Suara Saleh of the Beltway Banthas podcast. And I just didn't think it was good to cut out an entire hour and a half of conversation just to meet our time. So here it goes. Hey everyone, today we're talking about pretty much the gold standard in comic TV universes nowadays. We're talking about the CW-verse. That includes Arrow, Flash, Legends of Tomorrow, and Supergirl. As always, I'm your host, Kate, and I'm here with Adrian.
Hey, how's it going?
Matt.
Hello.
And an extra special CW-verse fandom stan flag fanboy, I don't know. And also a co-host of Beltway Banthas, a Star Wars and Politics podcast, and a upstarting contributor at DC TV podcasts.
Hey guys, how's it going?
Hey,
good. We're glad to have you back, Suara. Yeah. You're awesome.
I'm very happy to be back. I'm glad to meet you too, Matt. Finally,
I was you not on the actual other podcast.
Yeah. Because you don't watch Game of Thrones, right? You need Correct. To fix that, man.
So I've been told multiple times.
Yeah. Well, anyway, thank you guys so much for having me back on. I'm a huge fan of DC TV. All three shows, The Flash, Supergirl, and Legends of Tomorrow, they're absolutely fantastic.
Oh, I love it. I love it.
Oh, this is going to be fun. So to kick things off, we always like to start with a question. We're going to do multiples today just so that we can get all of our biases for such a large universe out and in the open. Questions are your top five characters across all the shows, your least favorite character, your favorite show, least favorite show.
Well, how about you start with one question, have everybody answer, then move to the next one?
Why do you have to come up with good ideas?
This is why I'm here.
I know. Okay, yeah. Let's start with the first one. Your top five characters across the entire universe.
So I'll go first. Yeah, I'd say my top five across the entire universe are Barry Allen. He's, you know, my ultimate hero. I relate to him so much. And The Flash is my favorite TV show. And I really love Barry's arc. It can definitely be frustrating at times, but I think he's awesome. Kara Danvers / Kara Zor-El for much of the same reasons as Barry. I love her. I think she's an amazing hero and has such a strong story. In terms of like my other three favorite characters, I'm going to go Iris West. I really love Iris. I think I'll also go, I'll go Sarah Lance, because she's had an extraordinary arc across the series in both Arrow, The Flash, the Arrow and Legends of Tomorrow. And for my fifth favorite character, I think I'm going to go with Cisco from The Flash. He always has, he's one of the strongest supporting characters. He is such an amazing, fully fleshed out character. He's really amazing for Hispanic and Latino representation. I think that's very important. And he's just an absolute delight in almost every single scene you see him in, except in season 3 when he's a real downer for 75% of it.
In no particular order for me, because when I was thinking about this, I was just thinking of characters that I liked. I don't think I have an all out favorite one, but I like Joe West, because I think he's an ultimate dad type character. Mick Rory, because he's definitely the best comic relief, I think, in the show, next to my next Cisco. Love Cisco for a lot of the reasons that Shwara mentioned. Captain Cold, I really love Captain Cold because his relationship with Mick is really, really good. And my man Diggle, love my man Diggle. He's my favorite part all of Arrow. And then honorable mention, because I didn't want to leave her out, Patty Spivot. She's my girl. Patty, she's got rid of her. But yeah, that's me.
I like Patty. Patty's cool.
I actually like her. I like her. I didn't at first. I do like her though.
Okay, I guess I'm gonna go. I'll start, at the bottom. I go with 5. I'm gonna have to go with season 1 and 2 and 5 of Felicity. And then I'm gonna have to go with season 1, 2, and 5 of Oliver as 4. I'm going with Constantine as 3 because he will count. And I don't care what anybody says. That was a great thing.
That's perfectly valid.
Still sad. And then I'm going to go with Harry.
Version 2.
Whatever version.
Yeah, he's probably going to be number 1. So I'll probably skip number 2. And I really liked actually Captain Hunter.
Nice. Rip Hunter.
Ripped Hunter.
Oh yeah. Yeah, I think Rip Hunter benefited a lot from the second season of Legends.
But no, probably overall, I guess I would have to go with Harry, the evil Wells. Not the evil Wells, I guess the dickish Wells, or douches Wells, would be my favorite character of all.
Which, we can say that on air, because that is how Cisco and everybody else refers to him. Way of differentiating him from the other Wells. Which, I guess, I don't know if I can bring it up later, I supremely respect Tom Cavanaugh's prowess as an actor.
Oh, he's easily the best actor on the entire show. Easy, 100%.
Playing another guy, playing himself, playing somebody who is paralyzed, and then playing a bad version of himself, and then a moron version of himself, and then himself controlled by somebody else.
And acting against himself as different versions.
Exactly. Yeah. He reminds me a lot of, I can't remember her name, Tatiana...
Tatiana Maslany?
Yes, from Orphan Black. He could
literally be 1 through 5 top characters because he's played so many different versions of Wells.
That was the one thing I've noticed that I was kind of disappointed that nobody had him on their list so far.
Mm. I had him on there.
I was going to put him, but I didn't. But he just plays different things, and I didn't want him to take all 5 of my slots because, he easily could just because he's such a good actor.
So I love Joe West because he reminds me of my dad. I mean, I think I mentioned on the podcast before, my dad is my stepdad, but he's the best dad in the world. And so Joe reminds me of my dad so much. And then Cisco, for all the same reasons everybody said, and the fact that I can't think of the last time I saw a Latino represented as somebody super freaking smart. He's just so smart. And he's smart and funny, which you don't get a lot. Actually, no, Wells is on my thing, see? Wells, no, he is. Yeah, sorry, I wrote this all down. I went through a lot of versions. So Wells, Diggle, because he is what keeps everybody freaking grounded in Arrow, because he doesn't mess around. And Leonard Snart is by far just amazing. And Sarah Lance, because she goes from being terribly written and kind of just really surface in Arrow. And me just really hating her, and then I saw her in Legends, and I was like, "Wow, this is how you build out a character."
Yeah,
Yeah, because I actually like her on Legends, but I definitely could not stand her yeah. when she was on Arrow.
Same.
At all.
And then my special mentions are Renee from season 5 of Arrow, for much of the same reasons that I like Diggle, because Renee is the one like, why are y'all fighting? How did y'all know that this was like there? Don't we have bigger things to do? And I really love Renee. So
what about your least favorite characters, Sora, before Kate starts naming all of the characters she likes? I can see her going there.
And if you take season 5, episode 3, this character's my favorite.
Yeah.
My least favorite. I'm sorry to disappoint you, Kate, but honestly, Stein. I liked him at first, but then in season 2 of Legends, he just became super annoying. And I mean, I liked his arc with his daughter Lily. That was really cool. But in other episodes, I honestly found him kind of superfluous and kind of a bit of a nag, to be honest, in most of the
season. I can see that.
I could see it.
I just want to say another one of my least favorites is Oliver Queen. I think he's the biggest dick of all. I think that he's extremely arrogant and confrontational for no good reason. And I think that he has caused more problems than it's worth. And I really don't like him. Yeah,
I'll pick up from there, because Felicity is my least favorite character for literally
mine too.
Literally everything you just said is why she is my least favorite. I don't care what season it is. I hate her through and through. Maybe like I liked half of season 1 Felicity, I guess, but she is just overly confrontational and kind of a dick.
She's overly confrontational?
Yes.
Oh my God.
So sorry, Adrian, if I could just jump in here. Felicity actually was my favorite character on Arrow for seasons 1 and 2. And then they listened to the shippers online and forced this stupid romance.
It's in the show notes.
That completely butchered any logical sense the series had.
Which is why one of my least favorite characters is season 3 and 4 Felicity.
Which is also why I excluded specific seasons on it.
Yeah.
Felicity.
Yes.
The two seasons.
Precisely. What was happening when they were trying, when Mark Guggenheim and other producers were trying to force that romance, was resulting in some of the most illogical and like mind-numbing plots in seasons 3 and 4. Full disclosure, I haven't watched Arrow season 5 because after season 4, I just couldn't anymore. I couldn't with the Felicity drama. I couldn't with
season 5. I didn't love season 5 of Arrow, but it's definitely a lot better than season 3 and 4. I loved everything about it except for when Felicity was there.
Yep.
Because I still think she's bad, and nothing's ever going to change that in my mind because of a lot of the reasons you just said. Exactly. Matt, who are your least favorite characters?
Thea, overall. I think she has some of the most horrible, illogical choices throughout the entire seasons. Doesn't make a lot of sense what she's doing for the most part. Then she just seems sometimes there are times where I just think she's useless and I don't care if she's there. I can't even remember the girl's name in season 5 of Arrow just because I watched it and I couldn't stand her. Whoever plays Artemis, Evelyn, I believe what her name is.
Oh God, I hated Artemis. I hated her so much. Artemis is so bad.
That one bugged me, even though she was only there for like a few episodes, but
I was getting like physically angry when I would see her on screen. Like, I was just like, no.
Guys, this is why I don't watch Arrow. This is why I feel like I wasted time watching Arrow. I'm sorry.
The funny thing is, a lot of the most annoying characters sadly come from Arrow, even though they're better top. HR did come redemption wise, I guess, towards the end, but HR bugged me, and I guess just because he was a moron, which they all totally acknowledged. And I went from like Harry, who was a genius. And I liked him in way.
And pretty much your personality.
Yes, and like the decision making, everything, to basically a complete idiot that I was like, and a lot of times, as I mentioned the show, like, why are you here?
Yeah.
And that just bugged me.
No, my least favorite are Thea. I liked her in the beginning, and then there's so many bad decisions that just make no sense to me. And we'll get into it when we talk about women in the CW verse, but I just have a lot of reasons for not liking Thea and for not liking Laurel and for not liking season 3, 4 Felicity and for not liking Iris.
Boo, Iris is awesome.
are women, which I felt like when I was making this list, I was like, man, I feel really bad about this, but they just suck. And then I don't really like Damian Dark that much.
Well, I think this whole season, we could just burn it. Next
yeah. Happened. Like, I like him in Legends continuity, but I don't like him in Arrow because it's just so convoluted for season four. And that just launches into my, like, if you're really going to lean into magic, why the hell didn't you just pick up Constantine and do that? Because Constantine was better than any of the CW shows. But
agreed. Which I will say, I hated Iris in season, like, 1 and 2, but I actually really liked her in Redemption-wise in season 3 and thought it was really good. But I definitely did not like
agreed.
Her
in
season 1 at She all. Still doesn't agreed. Do anything.
Yeah, but at least she's not like whiny, jealous, yeah, no, like she ruining isn't... Barry's life, teasing him, and then just saying, oh no, but I'm going to go marry Eddie, but please don't get together with anybody.
Yeah, no. See, and I guess I should preface this too. Like, I hated Iris, and it started a whole Twitter thread, which was actually kind of fun for me. But I hated Iris because she specifically sought to ruin Barry's love life. And I hate it whenever you write any character like that.
Okay, I got to step in and defend my girl, Iris West. So Iris, like I mentioned, is one of my favorite characters of all time. I think she's courageous. I think she's incredibly passionate. I think she's truly compassionate to her friends and family. And well, she does. I think she does a lot. I think, like,
she's there to get fridged.
There are obviously some problematic aspects with her storytelling in seasons 1 and 2, especially as being the love interest in a particular love triangle and sort of just being that object of Barry's affections. But the thing is, she still, like, gets out of her way to try to do the right thing and always has, like, her family and Barry's backs. And in that one particular scene in which you're talking about, Kate, I agree. That was definitely Iris's lowest point when she was talking to Linda Park about that. But I never really read that scene as her, like, really trying to intentionally ruin Barry's love life. I saw it as her... No, wait, let me finish. I saw it as, like, your face, Kate. I saw it as, like, her being confused and conflicted about her growing feelings about Barry and her, like, maybe acting like a way that she didn't really intend to and accidentally, you know, mucking things up, but was still able to, Barry was still able to salvage his relationship with Linda at the time. And I just genuinely think that she doesn't deserve, like, necessarily that level of hate. Although I understand the criticism.
She literally came in and said, he's still in love with me.
She didn't say that specifically.
That is what she said. And she said it in way more words.
But Iris, to me, at least in season 3, like, salvages herself because out of all this time between what Joe was doing, Barry was doing, everybody just, like, making these stupid decisions, she's like, just let me die and we'll find another way, because you were just letting psychopaths run wild and do all everything that you want and, like, ruining timelines.
Like,
over
I agree there. I agree there. I just still think she doesn't really do, like, she is just there. Like that, like, I just feel like she is just there, and I feel like that with a lot of the women in this universe.
That's
and
fair.
It just makes me very, very angry.
That's a fair criticism.
I'm also sad because, well, I guess we haven't got into it, but I kind of, at least in the crossover of seeing Martian Manhunter, he seemed pretty cool. And I'm disappointed that they're using him here and not actually in the, you know, like the Justice League where he, like, belongs. Yeah,
this is also true. Yeah. No, I think. Honestly, the Martian Manhunter storyline in Supergirl is probably my favorite. But that's also because Martian Manhunter is one of my favorite characters of, like, all time from the DC universe. So,
yeah, let's transition to favorite. We'll do favorite show and least favorite show in one go.
Yeah,
my favorite is The Flash. I think it has the best, like, balance of humor, heart, storytelling, and I'm just going to say season 1 of The Flash was an absolute masterpiece in how it was conceived and executed. The mystery about Wells, about Barry's mother, about why she died. And, you know, there were so many theories. I remember watching it at the time. There were so many theories going around. And it just, like, really livened up the fandom because it had such rich storytelling, such great writing, such great acting. Even with all the criticisms you might have of Iris, she was still, like, a compelling part of that narrative. And, you know, I think that season two of The Flash was not as good, but there were still some like really amazing parts of it. One thing I'm disappointed about it was the reveal of who Zoom was. It was definitely something you could tell that the writers were making up as they went along. They didn't plan spoilers for, the fake Jay to be Zoom. Like that was something you could tell that they like kind of made up towards the end. And then season three of The Flash, definitely I'll call the least best. Again, still a lot of things I really enjoy about the show because I love Barry. I love the characters. I love Barry's powers and the concept of the Speed Force and his relationships and how they develop, especially the culmination of West Allen, which is, in my opinion, the best ship ever.
Highland Diggle.
But still, season three, you know, suffered a lot from the dourness, from setting Iris as the potential fridge of the season, or in essence sort of being half fridge by Barry's motivation being only to save her. So that's certainly problematic. But still, I love The Flash. It's my favorite of all the DC TV shows. I think it brings a lot of heart, levity to the universe. And in that regard as well, my second favorite is Supergirl, which has a lot of those same elements, which has the strongest female characters, which has the most compelling arcs, which presents such great female relationships consistently throughout between Kara and her sister, with her and Lena and her boss Cat Grant and others. It's fantastic. And then I love Legends of Tomorrow, which also has, which is so wonderfully wacky and has really fun storytelling. And again, really great characterization all around, especially season two. Season one is really rough, but season two gets better. Arrow I did really like in seasons one and two, and then it went completely illogical with its storytelling in season three, which was like really painful. I liked the first half of season three, but then after I was like, no, what are you doing? I said I would give you one more chance with season four. Completely blew it. And by the way, I actually like Laurel. Like, I mean, she definitely had like a lot of issues in the first couple of seasons, but still she was able to like get herself up. She was able to overcome those problems, but then they decided to completely fridge her at the end of season four. And then you had the stupid Felicity plot point where like she accidentally kills a town with a nuclear bomb or some stupid thing. And I'm just like, I am so like this, like guys, I just want to express this. This show became painful to me. It became literally painful to watch and think about. And I was like, it felt like a bad relationship I had to break up with. And I'm so glad that I did, because my life is so much happier. Rant done.
All right, I'll go. I will say season five, I think, redeemed season four, three and four a little bit.
Okay. Good to hear.
I don't, you sound very, very hurt by it. So I don't know if you'll ever go back, but
it's okay. Adrian, these are just my personal feelings. Tell me how much you love it.
No, it's okay. It's okay. It gets a little bit better. Favorite show for me, I think I just have to go Flash and Legends of Tomorrow 1A, 1B, I think, just because they're just different shows, but I like that. Flash is like lighthearted, but it does hit some deep strokes, and Legends of Tomorrow was just kind of like wacky, and I kind of like that breakup from like because I watch them throughout the week, like back to back, so at the end of my week, I get a little bit of wacky Legends of Tomorrow fun. Like, what are they going to get into this week? And I kind of like that. And I think the character dynamics in that are really good. I guess I'd have to say least favorite for me is Supergirl, only because I haven't finished watching it, because I could only get through like half of the first season. And I was like, I just don't.
Yeah, first season's a bit rough.
Yeah. So I just, you know, and people are saying that season two is good once it moved to CW. So I'll probably go back and watch it. That way I can just watch it throughout the week. But I just really didn't like the first season. So I think that's why I have to go with that. Even as much as I didn't like season three and four of Arrow, Felicity is still bad.
So my favorite is Legends, not only because it's wacky, but because I personally don't like happy superheroes and bright cities, and like I like turmoil and angst and that kind of stuff. But I also really love sci-fi and time travel. So I really love Legends because it's lighthearted and wacky. But I also think you get really deep character development, specifically with like Snart and Rory. And I think that show in particular deals with a lot of social issues way more than the other shows do. And so for me, I really appreciate that, because I don't want everybody to just exist in this like happiness thing. Like, yeah, I'm not saying The Flash didn't like doesn't deal with stuff. He does, but it's like it's not enough for me. Same with Supergirl. So those are kind of my middle. But it's definitely Legends, and then seasons 1, 2, and 5 of Arrow are second for me. And bringing up the rear's got to be 3 and 4 of Arrow. It was rough, and you're right, Suara, it was completely illogical, and I hate it when characters make stupid decisions, and that's why I hate Thea, and I think it's very much because of 3 and 4 of Arrow.
Mm-hmm. So Arrow is your second favorite show, and then your worst show.
Yes.
Very.
I think you can tell it in the writing, though. Like, honestly, yeah. Like, they are two completely different shows when you have that together. And but The Flash is beautifully written. It just doesn't top it for me because it's too happy. And Supergirl's even happier than that.
Obviously, my favorite show would probably be Arrow, despite the fact that I really hate seasons 3 and 4. And Barry was on the Suara level of I'm about to give up on this show, but I did come back for season 5. Only because, to defend Arrow, when basically their seasons, basically midway through season 3 and 4, basically all of their characters had to be killed off, and they basically were just, there have been plenty of people that came out and said, we were just making this up as we go. We didn't have a story. We lost all of our Suicide Squad that we were trying to develop, and we're just making this up. And then, obviously, with the whole Oliver and Felicity thing was very bad. But season 5 I thought was really good. Also, I also like Oliver when he kills a lot of people. But that's just me.
It's my favorite Oliver.
Yeah. So season 5 was obviously really good for me. As far as least favorite show, I refuse to watch Supergirl. I will never watch Supergirl. Do not like the show.
Jesus.
One, I do not like Supergirl as a character ever in any of the shows. I did not like her as a character. But then it comes down to basically this weird thing of CBS, if I'm correct, that was a pick originally. They had basically, out of all of the characters they could have came with, they selected Supergirl to go with their show for primetime TV or like a mainstream station. They picked Supergirl. Then they canceled Constantine. And then when the CW had a chance to pick up, they picked up Supergirl over Constantine, who basically Supergirl bombed even worse than Constantine, who actually had a pretty decent following. It just wasn't on live TV. It was on the recorded thing that's not, unfortunately, been killing a lot of shows.
That and Constantine is better written than anything in the CW verse, like hands down.
I actually really enjoyed Constantine.
Yeah.
And they were going to have Spectre in there, who's also another person who is like the Batman, but I like to kill a lot of people with justice.
Yeah. And I think too, like on that, like I also hate Supergirl as a concept and a character. I think we've said it before on podcasts, like stop like just making more of the same character and stuff. And Supergirl just to me was never interesting. She was stupid. I hated her whenever I saw her in Justice League. Didn't like any of the comic iterations. And so I got bored one day and was like, well, we're probably going to have to do a CW episode sometime. I guess I'll watch Supergirl. And if you're thinking, hey, I don't like Supergirl, should I watch this? You should watch it because it actually made me care about Kara, made me care about Kara more than I had ever even thought I would. Like, she's That's still awesome. Not my favorite. It did something that I didn't think it was going to do. Mm-hmm. But
got rid of cringy dialogue? To get rid of cringy dialogue? That's why I stopped watching it. Because I was like, I just can't take this dialogue. It is just bad.
It's hyper comic booky. That much I will say. It's hyper comic booky. But once you accept that that's what it is, it's not bad. And I honestly just think, like, season 2 is really good. I think it has some pretty good characters. I mean, it made me care about Supergirl. And
Constantine
I hated her.
Would light a cigarette and say, not today, Satan. Let's do this.
Yes, he would.
Gotta have cringy Supergirl.
Just like to step in and defend one of my favorite characters of all time, Supergirl, Kara Zor-El. I have loved her ever since I was a kid. I've always found her more compelling than Superman. Like, my top 3 DC heroes are The Flash, Kara Zor-El / Supergirl, and Nightwing. And I think that Kara has such a wonderful journey. It's heart-wrenching for her having to leave her home planet before it blows up. Like, unlike Clark, she actually has memories of Krypton. And throughout the show Supergirl, you see her deal with the trauma and the pain of having to adapt to her new home planet and learn to make these connections as a human, as Kara Danvers. And again, harkening back to what I said before, she makes such incredible, meaningful relationships with so many characters, especially female ones, because I really don't think we get enough female friendships generally in television and movies. And I think Supergirl helps fill that void a lot. And yes, some of it is cringy and like some of the dialogue is like super hyper comic booky, but it still relays that pivotal, in my opinion, really pivotal and crucial message of hope and optimism. Like, I just gotta say, unlike you guys, I love the happy. I love the optimism. I love like media that can just show to how to inspire us to be better and act better. And I think that both The Flash and Supergirl like always have that consistent message of you need to do the right thing and you need to be as optimistic and have hope as much as possible in the face when things seem really like dire and, you know, keep pressing on. And I think, I think that's incredibly meaningful, but I understand your gripe, Matt, like about like not having Constantine, because from everything I've heard, it is a really brilliant show. And
Juan, do you like Superman at all?
I do like Superman as well, but I like Supergirl better.
Okay, I was just wondering, because like, I don't even like Superman. Yeah. I don't even like the type of powers they have and everything else. So basically, if I didn't like Superman, then you basically had this little like spinoff Supergirl to Dawi Sui. And then two, I was actually, another reason I was excited about this episode, because I knew it was going to be you on the hope end of the spectrum, Adrian in the kind of the little darkness, more hope end of the spectrum, Kate in the middle, but more dark end of the spectrum, and then me at the very bottom. So I figured we were going to hit the entire spectrum of everything to cover this.
That's accurate. I love when Arrow gets dark, but man, I can't be mad at some happy-go-lucky, you know, good moments with good old Barry and Iris.
Yeah.
Exactly.
No, and I think, like, as we transition into talking more about the shows, which we're going to do, is one thing to keep in mind, if you're a fan of the CW-verse, which is probably why you're listening to this, or if you're new to the CW-verse, we're sorry, we're probably going to spoil some stuff for you. But a lot of these shows have a very specific personality behind them. And depending on how you see things or how you're going to be attached to them or drawn to them. Like, that, like, my biggest gripe with The Flash is I hate the, like, love will conquer all, love your enemy. I'm like, no, shoot your enemy and bury the body. that's how I want it handled.
Oh, my God.
But that being said, that's my personality. So I just want to say, if you have fan but why those for any of these shows, any of these characters, make sure to send them in on our social media, our email address, info@butwhythoughpodcast.com, and we'll put them up on the website. And just get involved in the conversation, because we totally want to hear what you have to say. So now I'm going to transition into, I don't know what to call you today, Adrian, since you're leading it. I don't have a CW versy thing here.
Can I be Harrison Wells?
You can be Harry.
Yeah, you can be Harry.
Or can I be Diggle?
Which one?
Whichever. I like.
Are you going to be Ruthless Diggle or Sentimental Diggle?
I like Ruthless Diggle, man.
Yes, he's so good.
Ruthless Diggle's my man. I'll be Ruthless Diggle today. So at this point, we've talked about the shows. I just want to give like some quick basic background info. That way we can just jump into the But Why Those and have some more conversation. So if you were like, how come they're not referring to CW versus Arrowverse? One, this universe is so big now that I don't think Arrow should be the main thing. Even though everything's spinned off of it, like it's not the best show in the CW verse. So why should it still be called the Arrowverse when it's not the best show? And two, CW versus sounds better because it encompasses more shows. So for the rest of this, we're going to refer to it as CW verse. And for anyone who likes it being called Arrowverse, I'm sorry. If it was up to me, it'd be called Flashverse.
Agreed.
So the CW verse itself is not like the Marvel cinema or the Marvel Netflix universe, where the Marvel Netflix universe is connected to the Marvel Cinematic Universe. The CW verse is going to be separate. So all these characters we're talking about, you're like, well, how come these characters aren't in the new Justice League movie? Or is this the same Flash as in the Justice League movie? No, it's completely different. It's really weird.
We'll have Matt another episode on that, on how much we hate it and we don't understand DC. But now we're just going to talk about this.
Like Matt mentioned earlier, like they before Suicide Squad came out, they killed all of the Suicide Squad members that were in Arrow, and they were all really, really good. So it kind of like sucked.
Such good renditions.
And they just like kind of killed them all. So it's kind of weird. And this is also separate from Gotham. So like this isn't the same universe as Gotham on Fox. It's still on Fox.
Do not count Gotham as a DC show. It is basically a police show. They threw the name Batman on it and some villains.
Did you see that Batman costume? Yeah, or that costume?
Oh, no, that's terrible. That's not good.
That costume is terrible.
I liked it because I get more into the villains. And I really, like, for me, DC's always been about the villains, not the heroes. And so I like that part of Gotham. I'll defend it. But that's not what we're talking about.
Wait, didn't they make Poison Ivy like a little teenage girl or something?
I'm not talking about her.
Yeah, want to talk about all the great villains of Gotham? Come on now.
Well, I actually don't like Poison Ivy.
But just the preface is like where all this universe sits. It's completely different. So Arrow itself, and we've kind of talked about the show, so you might already know like what characters are in what. But if you're like lost, and if like the universe is too big and you don't know who's in what, we're going to talk a little bit about it real quick. So Arrow debuted in October 2012, and it's about to start its sixth season pretty soon. And we're going to go with the IMDb summaries, as per Kate's suggestions, to not go into a 5-season-long summary of the show. So is Arrow is about spoiled billionaire playboy Oliver Queen. He's missing and is presumed dead when his yacht is lost at sea. He returns 5 years later, a changed man, determined to clean up the city as a hood vigilante armed with a bow, a.k.a. it's basically him as the Green Arrow, and you see like his growth as that. As you might have gotten from us talking, Arrow has probably the darkest tone out of the whole all the shows we're going to talk about. And if you're wondering what its IMDb rating is, it's 7.8 out of 10, which is a lot higher than I thought it was going to be.
It's definitely gone down.
I think season 3 and 4 just tanked that show because it was actually decently.
That is I looked it up yesterday, and that's what the IMDb rating is. I'm sorry.
No, I'm not saying it's bad. I'm just saying like
it's a deserved 7 or 7. Yeah.
So then The Flash is a direct spinoff of Arrow, and it debuted in October 2014. It's about to start its fourth season. After being struck by lightning, Barry Allen wakes up from his coma to discover that he's been given powers of super speed, becoming the Flash, fighting crime in Central City. Like we mentioned before, lighter tone, definitely brighter, a lot brighter than... And it sits at an 8.1 out of 10 on IMDb. Legends of Tomorrow debuted in January 2016, and it's about to start its third season. This one focuses on time-traveling rogue Rip Hunter, who has to recruit a ragtag team of heroes and villains to prevent an apocalypse that could impact not only Earth, but all of time. And this show basically takes side characters from Arrow and The Flash and kind of puts them into one show. And if you might be thinking, oh, that doesn't work very well, it works pretty well. It really hits its stride after like the first half of the first season, I think. And that's one sits at a 7 out of 10 on IMDb. And then Supergirl, October 2015 is when it debuted on CBS, and it's about to start its third season on CW. And its IMDb summary is literally the adventures of Superman's cousin in her own superhero career, which defines Supergirl right there.
That's a really crappy summary. And that's just because I hate it when like women are summarized as like to their male counterpart or something like that, which I mean, I get it. She's not the most well-known character, and that is kind of what it is like for the general audience. But she is her own person, and it should just be Supergirl.
Yeah,
I think they can infer that it's his cousin.
Like I said before, and we've mentioned before, it originally debuted on CBS in its first season, but then made the switch to CW during its second season, and it'll continue on CW for its third season. And this one's a little bit weird too, because this doesn't take place on the same Earth. There's multiple universes, multiple Earths. So this one doesn't take place in the same Earth as Legends of Tomorrow, The Flash, or Arrow, but they are in the same universe, so there is some crossover events that we'll get into a little bit later, and that one sits at a 6.6 out of 10. Yeah, and so that is all the shows.
Constantine is in there. I will always say it will be in there, unfortunately.
According to the Arrowverse wiki, it is not. I'm sorry.
It never made it to the CW, unfortunately.
Actually, it is a web series, I think, is what they made it into, or making it into?
Yeah, I think the web series is going to be a part of it. And there's also, like, an animated universe as well with, like, Vixen and stuff, but
don't promote at all.
Yeah, and we're not going to get into it because that's going to take us in a whole other rabbit hole of comics and stuff. we're just going to talk about the live action stuff. So let's get into something about why those. And really, you can really see our differences in opinions on all of these, because we're definitely going to have some. So each show is tonally different. I think it's why the universe works so well. However, each show, I think, is better at dealing with certain themes than other shows. And I think we all have opinions on which shows do what well. So instead of just talking about just the Arrow, like Arrow, like in its own little vacuum, the Flash, we're just going to talk about general themes and then talk about how each show deals with those themes. Because if we talk about Arrow, I think it's just going to be like a bash fest for half of it. And then like, some of it's going to be good. So we're just going to talk about everything in general. So the first one that we're going to talk about, and I think the most pointed and probably going to be the most divisive when we talk about it, is going to be the female characters in the show, because I think some are great, some are bad, some are really bad. I don't think Kate really likes any of them, so that's why we're going to talk about it first. And I'll even let you lead that one, Kate, and then we can kind of just bounce off of the characters that you don't like, just because, you know, you're an actual woman, and I just kind of you know, hate Felicity for other reasons.
Yeah. So the reason I have a problem with the women in the CW verse is they fall into a few camps. One of them is fridging, and we've talked about this concept a little, but fridging is in reference to, I believe it was Green Lantern's girlfriend is killed and stuffed in a fridge only to progress his storyline. And it's this concept that what you do is with the female love interests, majority female, now it's just love interest, because technically Chris Pine was fridged to give Wonder Woman her boost of, you know, I'm going to beat you, Ares. It's taking that person, killing them off for no other reason than to propel the hero. And
I love
so,
Chris Pine.
I know you do, and I know that hurt you deeply. That is usually what the women fall into. They also hint, and I'm going to say this, a lot of them are strong female characters, and I don't use that positively because it is awesome that they kick ass. Like Thea's stunt woman, whoever that is, holy crap. Like the stuff that Thea does is incredible. The stuff that Laurel eventually does, apparently after a month of freaking training, that's a whole nother thing. And like the stuff that Sarah does too, because Sarah is a phenomenal fighter. Her stunt woman is insane. Like these are really cool, and it's awesome to see a woman in that role, specifically with Sarah, because she takes on a lot of men when she fights, and she uses her size and her femininity to help her through those fights. So that's awesome. But the problem is a lot of these women are just strong. You don't really know how they got there, or they got there in a super convoluted way, or they just spent a month hitting a bag, or and then they have really nothing beyond that that develops them. They have really nothing else that's brought into them, and it really sucks. You also have the standard just the love interest who will potentially be fridged like Iris. And then Sarah also is one of those where she is a strong female character, but she is also fridged. And then you just have...
So would Laurel be considered fridged? Because it seemed like half the season, season five, it was literally people just going, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah. Because four is like, she dies she dies and her death is what makes Ollie finally say, oh, I actually have to kill Damian. I can't just let him live. And so it's the idea of making the hero break to that point where they're actually going to do something different or win out over the villain. But you also have really great characters like Sarah, who is really developed all out, but it's taken two different shows to do that. I think Lila, for me, is the best person on the show, or the best female character on the show, because she is a love interest. She's definitely Diggle's love interest, but she isn't consumed by the romantic relationship. She pretty much tells him what to do half the time and doesn't, like, she does, like, she is her own person. And when they do fight and they do have these confrontations, she's not afraid to just kind of put it out all out there. And, like, this is what's happening, Diggle. You got to get on or you got to get off, which is something I really appreciate. Within the Supergirl universe, it's a little bit different because it is a female-led show, so it doesn't fall to a lot of the other CW-verse problems. Mainly, Arrow is probably the biggest perpetrator. Like, if you heard my least favorite characters, they're all females from Arrow, with the exception of Iris, who to me, like, she's... I'm neutral about her now, but she doesn't really do anything. She's just there. And Caitlin is like, meh, she's just there until she like somehow goes bad and kills Caitlin's people.
Caitlin's having a good arc.
Huh? Yeah, Caitlin has a good arc. And she's really smart. She's really, really smart.
I was gonna say, Caitlin carries that team for like part of the
Sister carries that team.
Huh?
No.
Caitlin does all. Yeah.
Sisko and Caitlin, they're a team.
That is true.
They'll bury through so many, like virtually every single mission is Barry saying, hey guys, I need help. I need like, what do I do in this situation? And then it's Sisko and Caitlin that use their brilliant minds to come up with a solution. Like,
I honestly think the reason I'm just so mad about Caitlin is I really hate how she turns into Killer Frost, and I don't understand how you automatically become bad. I don't understand
that. Yeah. So just to plug one of the DC TV podcast shows, the Flash podcast, they actually talk about why Caitlin has gone bad, and like they were confused by it as well. But then like one of the hosts, Amy Hipnarowski, she was talking about how sometimes when you go through a genetic mutation, it may affect your mind. And like Caitlin's genetic mutation into Killer Frost. And that's a reason why when the powers are activated that she may have gone but evil. I highly recommend you listen to a couple of the Flash podcasts.
I was telling her this throughout the entire season of that's probably what is happening.
Well, no, I get that. But how, like, I just don't understand. Like, it seems to be that her obsession with evil her is what informs what she turns into. And I just don't, like, that doesn't make sense to me. Like, that is Earth with a Caitlin with completely different circumstances, which doesn't necessarily inform what this character happens.
Yeah, 100%. It's not executed well. I'm just like, it's us and people on the Flash podcast having to go through and explain. It frustrated them too.
Yeah.
Like trying to go through it and they finally came to a solution. It's like, for example, do you understand time remnants at all on the Flash?
No.
Like, does that make sense at all?
Yeah, of course.
A little bit, actually.
It makes total sense, actually. Yeah.
Okay. Well, for a lot of people, it doesn't make sense. Oh, you're just being sarcastic.
Okay. Yes, it's sarcastic.
The whole science in the Flash is crazy. And you just kind of have to be like,
yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
You have to go with it.
Barry's a time remnant and he's going back in time and killing everybody. Okay. Yeah. I can see that.
We don't know what came first.
Yeah. I also didn't like Caitlin in season two of Flash. Sorry.
Mm-hmm.
I thought
it's okay.
I was like, this isn't Arrow. Stop keeping secrets, man. Like, that's not like you've seen what happens when people keep secrets, and all she does is keep secrets all season.
Honestly, that is the consistent theme throughout all of the CW shows. Do not keep secrets. Secrets will only cause harm. No secrets.
Secret family.
You know who did not keep secrets? Yeah. Constantine. He was blunt about everything.
Can we talk about Felicity?
Yes.
Yes. Which that was gonna be my last thing was gonna be Felicity, because like they actually wrote her really where she was her own person until they forced the ship with Ollie, and they took a really independent character who had her own qualities and was super smart and could stand on her own and morphed her into a character that was completely consumed by this romantic relationship with Oliver Queen. Yeah. And then they shot her. And then, like, it was just so bad.
They tried to Oracle her.
Yeah.
They were literally just, like, copying the Killing Joke, what happened to Barbara Gordon, and, like, just making Arrow seem more like a shameless Batman ripoff. And
unfortunately, yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it just, like... And then she gets healed through like a microchip or something.
Yeah,
and
then I was like, why even do it if you're just gonna make her walk again?
Yeah,
exactly. And even then, they were talking about, and I remember seeing some commercials like where you had the actress, I forget her name, who plays Felicity, talk like about act for a charity for people dealing with that disability, and you think that, oh, they're actually going to go this route of showing this sort of representation for disabled people. But then, like, no, she gets to walk again.
Yeah.
It's pointless. It's horrible and so poorly executed. And maybe, like, Felicity was my favorite character on Arrow in season 1 and 2 for the reasons you said, Kate. She was her own character, independent, had her own qualities. Then they forced this relationship with her. Then they put in some soap opera BS, like, into the show with her character and with Ollie. And it was terrible, and it made me hate her. Like, I hate her, and I really don't like Arrow. I've already gone on how much I don't like Arrow, so, yeah.
I just didn't like her, like, she just nagged all the time, yes. And when she did, I was kind of just like, do we really need to be talking about this?
Can you define really the nagging, though? Like, is she nagging? Are you talking about, like, the first season where she's calling out the stupid crap that they're doing?
The biggest one that I was like, I'm just done, because I can't imagine any sane person, like, doing this in real life, is when Ollie finds out that he has a kid, and then he's forced to keep it a secret. And then she's like, well, why didn't you tell me you had a son? Because the dude said not to. And, like, he was going to kill my son. And, like, I had just found out, and you're giving me all this grief for it?
It's terrible. That is not her secret. That's not all of, like, the mother of Oliver's child said to him, do not tell anyone, even when you're super close to. I mean,
That is way worse than what Iris did to Barry. It is completely worse.
If I found out that he had a kid on the side, my ass is leaving him. Like, I'm sorry. Okay.
No,
if you're going to marry somebody.
No, but you're not thinking about Matt. She wasn't thinking about Ollie's feelings of, like, Ollie just found out he had a kid. He had no clue. For him to have a relationship with his child,
he held that secret for a long time. It wasn't just it happened
for like 5 days. It was like five days.
Yeah, it was quick or something.
Like, I mean, like, Kate. Sorry, Kate. I want to reiterate. You're right. Like, I mean, like, that definitely is something that, like, someone in that sort of relationship should know. But even so, I guess, like, what I'm saying is, again, it comes back to the execution. It comes back to how she reacted. It comes back to what you were talking about, Adrian, how she was being extraordinarily inconsiderate of what Oliver was going through at that moment. And I just, like, hate the fact that I'm talking about something that is essentially a soap opera plot point on a superhero show. And the thing is, like, there are some soap opera elements to comics, but none as egregious as Arrow did in seasons 3 and 4. Again, like, you know, I what I said about Felicity, it wasn't because, like, what she, like, of course she has a right to know that the man she's marrying, like, has a child. But again, the execution of it was just, it was terrible. Just terrible.
Where I had the problem. So the initial him keeping the secret, which, once again, the person who keeps the most secret and the most illogical person, Thea, told Oliver to do, which Oliver said he believes him.
Right.
After she leaves them to go fight them for keeping secrets.
Yeah. They don't make a lot of sense. Anyways, but the initial part was a terrible choice on Oliver, but then I do agree with the after the entire situation's over, and then it's like trying to understand, she's like, I'm leaving you because you did this. And it's like, okay, now you've, like, gone from, like, I get it, it was a terrible decision, to, like, we're just going to throw away everything because of
that. Yeah, after he's killed many, 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 many people. Like, a whole bunch of people. And, like, that's the part you're not okay with? Like, you can't get over him not... I just think she just made ridiculous decisions.
I think the other thing that confuses me about Felicity...
And then she killed a whole bunch of people, and no one brought it up.
Yeah.
No one cared. They're just like, okay.
Well, it got brought up a little bit in season 5, but...
Like, one season with, like, the rag dude. But after that, he was like, all right. But
didn't that take place towards the end of season 4, though?
It was the very end of season 4.
I thought the whole nuke was a very...
No, none of the main characters bring it up. Like, no one's like, hey,
don't feel bad. But I also feel like everybody who was in that room about that when it happened knew that she killed she chose that city because it was less people than the other city.
Bruh, Arrow...
So terrible!
Oliver wants to kill Damian Dark and he gets a lecture for it. She kills a whole bunch of people and, like, no one cares.
Because everybody agrees that that's what she was
innocent
supposed
people,
to do.
Innocent people versus Damian Dark is, like... Or, like, anybody that Arrow ever wants to kill, he gets a lecture. Felicity kills innocent people, and no one says anything about it.
Everybody
and
who was there.
This whole last season was her going behind people's backs and, like, keeping secrets and lying and being like, I just got this information for nothing. Like, you give Oliver shit for 5 seasons of, don't keep secrets from me. And then all she does in season 5 is keep secrets. It's her character is just bad.
You kill 500 people or you kill 100 people, and everybody in the room agrees to kill the 100 people. They're not going to talk about it again. Like, she killed a whole
exactly. I agree. I agree. I don't think that I don't think
from killing a bunch more people than were in that city.
Yeah, hey, I agree. in that same token, if someone says, hey, if Matt comes to you and Matt's like, hey, I got to go shoot this bad guy because he's killing a whole bunch of people and he's going to destroy the city. Are you going to give him a lecture or are you going to be like, yeah, go put an arrow in his chest?
Yes.
What does Felicity do? Gives a lecture instead and say, hey, babe, I got you. Go do that. I support your decisions because you went through 5 years of hell and you had to become something else. You had to become
something else. So about the Felicity thing that I do not understand, by the way. And so they have Oliver and Felicity are together. They're meant to be married. They love each other. They do all this stuff. But every flashback, and even in these, like, just finished watching the Invasion crossover and all this other stuff, it is always Oliver marrying Laurel, which makes the weirdest thing to me, and I don't understand that. Even when he comes back to, like, Inspiration or anything, it's always Laurel. And it's like, wait a minute.
I feel like that's what it was supposed to be, but then, like, Felicity happened on Tumblr, and then they got rid of it.
Well, even when you see, like, Black Siren come out because of, like, Felicity has to tell him, like, that's not Laurel. Like, stop making her Laurel. Because Ollie loved Laurel.
I get it, but it's like you're about to literally marry Felicity, but yet every single thing goes back to Laurel.
I think it all just shows how bad Felicity was for this show.
Yeah, the fact that we're having this argument, the fact that, you know, it's just like, In the previous episode I was on, we were talking about Game of Thrones and Sansa, Arya. There are so many layers to this. But again, it comes down to the execution and how poor it was and why we all have such strong feelings on this. And it's just, I just hate all this.
I also personally liked her explanation in season 5 where she was like, that was kind of the last straw of the line. Mm-hmm. Like, it wasn't just that moment. It was all the other moments that you didn't trust me to begin with. And I think that's why it makes her keep all the secrets then. And they're not technically secrets because Thea's running around with her doing these things. And Thea's the one that's encouraging her to do these
things. Oliver told her that she shot her, like, new boyfriend and, like, she didn't care. But you keep a son from me. Nope. No, we're done.
Well,
we're
not, friends I'm sorry. All
right, let's go to Iris.
Iris. You know what? Let's ask Stefani. If Adrian has a kid on the side and doesn't tell you.
It's not on the side. If I didn't know about it, it's much different than, like, I watched this kid grow up, and then I found out 5 days ago that I had a kid, and I need some time to process on how to go about this.
It's still a kid.
Okay, one thing, just don't really care about this anymore, but I do want to say, Suara, if you do want to watch season 5 of Arrow, I think you will like the new, I think it's Diana Drake.
Diana Drake's awesome. Diana's dope.
She's a baller, dude.
Yeah, she's actually really great.
All right, so let's move into really quickly as we can. Iris West, do you want to tell your story about Iris West, Suara?
I absolutely love Iris. I think she's an amazing, vivacious, compelling character. I understand the criticisms about her and how some people see her, like Kate, that she's simply only there to be Barry's love interest and to be a sort of object of affection. But like knows in a lot of episodes, she helps drive a lot of the plot, and she's an active player, and she's an active member of Team Flash, and is really, I mean, I do definitely want to see her do more. I feel like there needs to be a hashtag let Iris work. Like, let's see her in action, like covering these stories across the city, like show her as like a Lois Lane type, because, you know, that's a character she reminds me a lot of. But even so, I still really love her relationship with Barry. It's very sweet. It's very sincere. It's very supportive and encouraging. It definitely took a while to get there in seasons 1 and 2. And you had some drama, which wasn't the best. But still, it's like a very heartwarming, great relationship. I love West Allen, and I can't wait to see them get married.
I like Iris West. I don't see too many problems, just because, like, I've seen girls do that, like, in real life, of what Kate was talking about. Like,
shitty.
So yeah, no, I think it's super shitty, but, you know, I think she redeems herself, which I think is great, because if anyone knows anything about me for this podcast, I love character development. I think she develops a lot from being that kind of, like, you know, homewrecker to actually really being willing to sacrifice herself, like Matt said earlier, to save all of this turmoil. I mean, of course, if she did that, there would be, like, no plot points or story in that last season. But I much prefer Iris West or West Allen over Felicity. And
yeah, even I can say yes.
Any day.
Good. I mean, just only comparing them because they are like the main relationships over, you know, of the shows. So, all right, Kate, go for it.
I just want to say, Alicity is just toxic. That's all it is.
Yeah.
It is a pretty toxic relationship, actually.
See, but now that I start thinking about this, I like Iris's redemption in season 3 versus like season 1 and 2, where I really like her. But now I'm starting to think, and especially looking at stuff, that basically because of Iris, which is not necessarily her fault, but basically the way the Flash plays out in general, is I lose my favorite female character in what I really want to love about Patty. I lose Patty because Iris just loses Eddie, which then they go back to the whole Iris West ally.
I 1,000% agree, because I loved Patty.
I love Patty.
Was dope. I was kind of hoping that she was going to be Zoom. I know that was like a big thing for
her. I saw that, but
the best thing
that would have been amazing.
When King Shark pops up and she's just like, fuck it, I gotta do what I gotta do. I'm a cop. I'm just gonna take on this giant half human, half shark.
Yeah, she was awesome.
That's so great.
I did get excited because there was a few renditions of The Flash and some of the older comics were them to actually do.
Yes.
But
no, I like it. Let's go. Yeah. Just because I think I already voiced that.
Iris. I just don't like damsels. I don't like that. So
let's go into someone who's not a damsel. Sarah Lance in Legends of Tomorrow. I think she's a boss. She's a straight boss. Like, we won't talk too much about season 2 because Matt hasn't seen it yet. But she's like a boss through and through. To be honest, I think she would beat most characters in this show in a 1-on-1 fight. I think just because she's so.
I think she actually has.
And she's like a zombie, basically, which is, I think, is awesome.
Yeah. No, I think she actually has, because she's fought Barry, she's fought Ollie, she's fought Merlin, she's fought Damien, she's fought her sister,
mm-hmm.
she fought Nyssa. She fights a lot of people. She does love Nyssa. Yeah.
Sarah Lance of Legends Tomorrow, liked character, great arc, actually makes sense, everything flows nicely. Sarah Lance of Arrow, delete.
Yes. She's so bad.
I don't know the way they introduced her, the way they just pulled her out, because apparently now everybody was surviving shipwrecks.
Yeah.
And just apparently just all of a sudden randomly becoming trained by assassins. Apparently I need to go get in a wreck on a boat. I'll become back a superhero.
Well, you're blonde, so it's in your favor.
But on Legends Tomorrow, I actually like her character, especially her interactions with a lot of things. Her and Snart in season 1 had a really good like storyline of like between, I guess, as they call it. What they say they have, that urge or whatever, like her and Thea fought for the
season. It's the urge to kill.
Like bloodlust or something.
Which happens after you come out of the Lazarus pit.
Yes.
Which Thea magically freaking loses. Okay.
Yep.
That was also weird about Thea.
Yeah, that's another stupid thing about Arrow.
I think Thea character in total just write her off.
Yeah, like I expected to not like Sarah. I didn't like that they brought her back, other than the fact that Constantine came back for that episode, which I was happy about, but then sad about at the same time, because that was all we got. But it truly is a redemption of a character that really wasn't that well written. And now she just kicks ass. And like the fact that she challenges Rip that entire first season. Refuses to just do it. Like, she's like, okay, you want us to go do that? Explain. Mm-hmm. Explain why. I don't care. I don't care if you have years of this. Tell me why I'm going to do this. So I really liked it. And she trains everybody on that ship, pretty much. Like, she trains Palmer. She trains Kendra. I mean, she's just awesome. Well, yeah.
Yeah. We'll say Kendra. Because I think our sentiments are all pretty good there. Kendra is not as good as the Justice League animated version of Batgirl. I think that's why people don't like her.
Oh my gosh, Shaira is amazing. Hall from the original Justice League is absolutely extraordinary. Also, I just want to say a tidbit about the Thanagarians in Justice League. All of them were voiced by Hispanic actors. Like, they're meant to be.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, they're meant to be Hispanic. Like, all
I didn't
of them.
Know that.
Yeah, just want to leave that in there. About Kendra, guys, I hear she's a barista.
With that, we'll go into Supergirl, and I'll let Kate lead that one because I haven't watched it. And
I think too. Yeah, I think personally my favorite character from Supergirl, and she's only in season one, it's Kara's boss, Cat Grant. I love Cat Grant so much.
Cat is so good.
She's the no-nonsense businesswoman who understands how everybody sees her and doesn't care. Like, she pushes past that, and she leads everything. And I love that about her so much. I love that, like, she has to do the one thing I didn't like is, like, cool, we're going to bring in the mom element, which makes sense. I've said it on the podcast before. I don't like mother arcs. I just hate them. Mm-hmm. But they bring it up with her because they want to show how she balances, like, being somebody who's high powered and having a kid. And it's a really interesting thing. It's a really interesting dynamic that they explore. And I think they do it really well. And then Lena Luthor, Lex Luthor's sister, has one of my favorite lines. She's having this exchange with a person. She's another woman who apparently was actually controlling the bad guy. And she's like, haven't you heard? Behind every great man's a great woman. And then Lena's just like, I wouldn't know. I never stand behind a man. And I was like, what?
Yes.
That's awesome. That's a great line.
Lena Luthor is the best. I love her so much. Like, she's one of the most amazing female characters across all of the shows. And I can't, like, what's really great about Supergirl season 3 is that she's been elevated to main cast instead of recurring character. So we're going to see a lot more of Katie McGrath. That's the character, that's the actor who plays her. And she's so good. And I love her friendship with Kara. It's awesome. Yeah.
And Kara, I really like too, because the reason I really like hers is they don't make her that strong female character arc. Like, she's not just, like, she has super strength, obviously. She's Supergirl, and she is pretty much a god. But the fact that she's always exploring her powers and exploring her emotions and how they're tied together is really interesting. So, like, her powers are an entirely another character. And so she actually has to, like, she has to learn that way, which I think they could have easily copped out and said, here's super strong. Here's what we go. We're not really going to explore anything. We're going to watch. She does do, like, the Luke Cage fighting style, like the Luke Cage, Jessica Jones fighting style, where it's just punch, punch, punch.
Yeah.
Not like the cool stuff. But
that's more realistic as well, to some extent.
That's all Superman does.
Punch, punch, punch.
But I think her as an actual character is really good, and the way she forms relationships with people is really awesome. And I think one of the best part about Supergirl the series and Kara herself is she has to realize that it's not easy to do good, because there's this entire part where she's learning how to use her powers and she's saving people, but she's, like, technically causing, like, disasters in the city, which are making other problems too. Yeah. And I'm kind of like, this is totally what it would be like. But then again, she is the main character of the show, so a lot of the focus goes into writing her. Whereas I think a lot of the side characters in these shows, not even just the female ones, but they do suffer from not getting a lot of attention. The female ones just stick out to me is because I want to like them as a woman. I want to see awesome representations there. And so I get really angry when they're not.
But you do agree that, or do you feel as well as I do, that there is, like, good, at least adequate or good female representation in Supergirl overall?
Overall, yes. I think there's more that I want, but I can't, I feel like something's missing, but I can't really vocalize it. So I wouldn't say that it's, you know, I wouldn't knock it. I think overall, I think you have women who are strong. You have women who are cold. You have women who are hyper emotional. You have women in their families. There's a whole bunch of different ways to navigate, you know, women and their relationships in the show, which is really nice. So Swara, why don't you tell everyone where they can find you? And go a little bit deeper into that. Plug away, please.
Yeah, so you can find me online on Twitter at SwaraSaleh1. You can find my podcast, Beltway Banthas, which covers the intersection between politics and Star Wars, at Beltway Banthas on Twitter. And subscribe to us on iTunes if you're interested in discussion of the political parallels within Star Wars and the real world. or viewing politics through the lens of Star Wars. You know, we cover all of that. Just find us on iTunes through the name Beltway Banthas. You can follow my co-host, Stephen Kent, on Twitter at Stephen_Kent89. That's Stephen with a PH. I'm also a new contributor to the DCTV podcast network. I'm going to be writing some articles for them, like throughout the season, relating to The Flash, Supergirl, and Legends. And you need to those shows include The Flash podcast, Supergirl Radio, Legends of Tomorrow podcast, and the classic DCTV and Quiver, the Green Arrow podcast. They're all really fantastic shows. You all should check them out. And one more plug, I've got something else relating to Star Wars, a Facebook group called Sounds from a Galaxy Far, Far Away, where we discuss everything in the realm of Star Wars and music, John Williams, Michael Giacchino, and everything else. And if you're interested in joining, just send a member request and I'll accept you. So yeah, those are all my plugs.
And I will include a very detailed list of everything in the show notes for this podcast and in our About Our Guests tab on our website. So make sure you follow Swara. If you love us, you'll do it. And if you don't love us, you might love him more. So follow him. As always, you can find me at Oh My Mythrandir on Instagram and Twitter. Adrian?
Yep. You can find me on Twitter at SuperReese93, SuperRuiz93. And the next time I guess you hear from me, I'll have my Star Wars wedding. So fun times.
Yay.
And we'll be posting pictures of that.
Yeah. So be sure to follow me on social media for all those great pictures. It's going to be lots of fun. If you weren't so far away, Swaro, I'd invite you, but you know, time zones.
That's why we have time travel. You can find me on Twitter at datm18, datm18.